Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're at program 328, that's 328. And if you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how to receive one at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. These are free of charge. Postage and handling is also free of charge. The Lord didn't charge me a penny to get saved. He did it in a wonderful way. He did it in stages. It was a process that my soul was saved. God himself went through a process to be able to step into time. He was in eternity. Time and eternity are the exact opposite. So he came from eternity, stepped into time, and he became incarnate. He stepped into incarnation, and then he lived a human life here on earth, of course, with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in him. Jesus, the Son, was in eternity. He was the Son. And he is the express image and likeness of the living God. God, of course, is a spirit, and therefore God chose to make himself look as he does, as we do. He then began in the Old Testament. He was God the Father. He was the Holy Spirit. He was the he never became the actual Holy Spirit as we know it in the New Testament. In order for him to be the Holy Spirit, he had to go through a process. He had to come from eternity into time, and then he began the process. That was the beginning of the process. He then lived a human life with God, with the whole Godhead in him, however, as we do now. We have the Godhead in us, and so therefore we're able to live a godly life in a human body and to be able to take power and dominion over ourself, our flesh, and incorporated within our flesh is Satan. And that's why we have to walk by the Holy Spirit. There's no possible way that we can stop from sinning if we are not in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people ask me, do you have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in order to get into heaven? I believe that you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in order to make it through this life without Satan rising up in your flesh and causing you to sin. It's just impossible because we can't do it alone. So the Lord went through this process for our souls to be saved. And then after he lived his human life, he was crucified. That's part of the process. And then he went to hell. That's part of the process. And then he was buried. That's part of the process. Went to hell. That's part of the process. And then he rose from hell. That's part of the process to show that the power of the Spirit is more powerful than anything in the universe, and it is able to keep us from sinning. And then he rose up from the dead, which is part of the process. This is God in human flesh. And then he ascended into heaven. And so he stepped into time, into a human body, and then he took that human body that was translated into an ecclesiastical body. He took the human likeness of himself into eternity again, which made it possible for us to go through a certain process that we must go through. We must say the prayer. We must be born again in the Spirit. We must then, we're in the flesh, but then we have to get born again in the Spirit. And then we need to get baptized in water. This is part of our process. And then we have to be, we of course must be mortified, crucified. Jesus was crucified at the end of his life, his eternal life. at the end of his human life, rather, and we must be crucified with Christ. We need to be dead at the beginning of our eternal life. And as I mentioned in yesterday's message, the Lord bore the cross until he was crucified. Bearing the cross and being crucified are two different things. But we have to be crucified with Christ when we first are saved, and then we need to bear the cross until the time of our death, or until the Lord comes in the sky and changes us into the same ecclesiastical body that Jesus was when he ascended up into the kingdom of heaven. So this is all our process. Now, the Lord went through the process first, and so he was the first begotten of humanity that became God and became translated and was taken into the kingdom of heaven. Now, some people say, well, like Elijah was the first, and also, or Enoch. No, they did not. They were translated into the kingdom of heaven, but they had to come back and die and go through the process of salvation, belief in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So in this way, this explains how that Jesus is the first begotten of the dead. He took death, and because of the fact it says the first, that means that there's others that will be. Amen?
Amen.
He says the first begotten from the dead, that where their human bodies, as with God in them, it steps into eternity. You get it?
Amen.
Amen. So a lot of people say, well, you know, he wasn't the first begotten from the dead. Yes, he was. He was the first one as a human being that went in to the kingdom of heaven. He stepped out of eternity, incarnate, went through the process, then entered, after the whole process was over, he stepped into, with a human body, the likeness that he had when he was here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Then he stepped into eternity. And therefore, God, the Son, is also the Son of Man. Amen?
Amen.
Which means that we, who are the sons of men with God's Spirit in us, are also able to be not the first begotten of the dead, but there are millions of us. Amen?
Amen.
That Jesus took. That's why I say when he was crucified, we were crucified right there with him. Amen?
Amen.
Because all the works of God were done in Christ. Everything. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. That's deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, we have some singing today. We've got a strong message from the last part of the 6th chapter of Romans and then the 7th chapter of Romans, which so few people understand. The whole Christian world realm, they say, well, right there it says that no one can. We want to do good, but we can't. We just can't. Oh, yes, you can. Amen?
Amen.
You can. And you will. You're going to do it. Because if you don't, you're never going to enter the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So we have to deal with ourselves as subjects. The Bible says it's up to us. We have a will. Now, mankind that say they're Christians say that, no, Jesus did all the work and we don't have to do anything. But we are the subjects of God's affection. This is why he first went through the process in order to show us how to be subjective to that we have to deal with ourselves subjectively, just as dealing with the flesh must be dealt with subjectively. self and flesh. Now, we know that the seventh chapter of the book of Romans tells us that there's some force within us, and it is definitely the force of Satan, because Satan has dealt with our flesh down through the years. He's dealt with us, and we were his subjects. But now we have to be willing to deal with ourselves as subjects, just as dealing with the flesh. We must deal with our own self subjectively, and that is done through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Our Word of God tells us all these things that I've been telling you. Amen?
Amen.
And so you have to go, we that want to enter the kingdom of heaven have to go through the process. Now God, if God went through the process, he'd take the Bible tells us that he did that. He was going to come into the world. John 1:14 tells us that he came into the world and dwelt among us in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. So the Word is God. The Word is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So if we know as a fact that our old, that the devil, that our old man has been crucified, that is, then it is in our daily living that we have to keep him crucified. Amen? Because
Amen.
The minute that we step out of the spiritual realm, that is, out of the eternal realm, because when we were saved, we don't enter into eternal life when we get to heaven. We have to enter into eternal life right here
Amen.
On earth in order for us to be able, and we have to continue on the process road until we actually enter with our reconditioned body, our eternal body, our ecclesiastical body into the kingdom of heaven. And as otherwise, we cannot make it. So if we know as a fact that our old man or the devil has been crucified, then in our daily living, wherever we discover the expressing of our own ideas and opinions, we must absolutely let the Holy Spirit work the death of the cross upon these ideas of ours and these opinions of ours to put them to death. This is what is called the subjective experience in dealing with our ideas and opinions, which actually is our flesh itself. Subjectiveness. What that is to see that our opinions are one in the same. One of the expressions of the devil, the old man. Any idea you have, any opinion you have to begin realizing, if you want to go through the process, that these ideas and opinions of yours and your flesh expressing itself are the old man or the devil. So we have to apply the crucifixion of Christ to our opinions and our ideas and the flesh expressions, how the flesh likes to express itself. Once you get to know that your old man, I mean the devil in your flesh, has been crucified and done away with in Christ only, if you're walking in Christ, the Spirit of God, you're walking in Christ by the Holy Spirit. And again, as you realize that your opinions and ideas are the expression of the devil, the old man, you naturally will not allow the devil, the old man, to express himself again by your own opinions or ideas. Now, I know everybody in the world, especially in these last days, believe that they're so, they're just full of their opinions. They're so opinionated. Like I saw Barbara Walters on TV the other night on one of those talk shows, and she was saying how far along we have become as decent human beings by condoning homosexuality. She said, you go back around 20, 30 years ago, and if somebody found out that you were a homosexual, nobody would call you or talk to you. But now, a lesbian is going to be the hostess of the award show this coming Sunday, which is 2 days from now. Today is what? The 22nd of February. 2007. That's how far degenerated people are. That's how far the devil is expressing himself through millions, billions of human beings because of the hypnotic television set. It has hypnotized everybody into believing that something that is absolutely condemned by God, which is homosexuality, lesbianism, it plainly states that God destroyed them with fire and brimstone and sulfur and salt and buried them and stated that these people are worthy of death. That means that they're worthy to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire if they don't repent. Now, you know, some of these people, they have really good personalities and everything, but that personality doesn't get you into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible plainly tells us that we must be keeping the commandments of the Lord. Now, homosexuality, lesbianism is the exact opposite of the Word of God. It definitely, the Word of God in several places tells us that this is condemnation. And God's not going to, he gives everybody a chance. The homosexual, you say they were born that way. Well, that's why the Bible states we were all born of flesh. And we all were born, and a lot of people say we were born to do this or born to do that. But the Bible says we must be born again of the Spirit. And the power of the Spirit is powerful enough to put you to death, put your flesh to death, your ideas and your opinions to death, and it's powerful enough to keep your flesh under subjection to the Holy Spirit. That is, if you seek the Holy Spirit as the subject of God, subjectively, you must put that flesh under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. It must be you that does that. Now, if you're going to a house of prostitution, a massage parlor, one of the most demanding demons is this lust of the eyes through pornography. Because people just see it and they just... I've seen people look at it and they just fall away from the Lord immediately, and that's all they want to do is look at the hundreds, thousands, millions of people expressing themselves in a pornographic way to the people that are voyeurs, people that like to watch. It's because they get their kicks by watching. But the Holy Spirit... that's your opinion or your idea of a way to live the life. But the Lord says if you want to live eternally, therefore you have to put your ideas and your opinions under subjection to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we will apply the cross of Christ or the crucifix of Christ through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to our opinions and our ideas, and to pornographic comes our way. The Bible says to flee from the very appearance of evil. Well, we don't think that's evil, but the Lord says it is. Amen?
Amen.
And it's taking your eyes off the Lord and putting your eyes on people's sex organs and their bodies. And, you know, you would think that it gets disgusting after a while. But, you know, if your soul goes out of your body, and, you know, I've experienced my soul leaving my body back and forth where the Lord was dealing with me when I first got, when he first revealed himself unto me. I didn't get saved that day, but I knew he was there, and I didn't know how to get saved. But I found out through the Bible. So I realized I never got into pornography before I was a Christian at all. I never got into any pornography. That doesn't interest me at all. I have a wife. That's enough. If I was into pornography, I'd have her do a little show for me. Alright, that may sound evil, but you know, I'd rather just look at my wife. Now, there's no problem with that, okay? According to the scriptures, that is. Now, this is our subjective experience in dealing with ourselves. We must put ourselves under the Holy Spirit. We must place ourselves. Now, if you are walking down the street and you see a porn parlor, you could subject yourself, you could deal with yourself that way. You can put yourself under subjection to sin, Satan, in the world. You just want to look at something. And is looking at something worth going to hell for? Is it?
No.
Or is, you know, having an experience with a massage parlor, or someone that you know that you're not supposed to be having sexual relationships with, or lusting after people with your eyes and undressing them with your eyes, is this the way that the Lord wants you to deal with yourself, your flesh? You are putting you're subjecting yourself to this yourself. That's why you're guilty yourself before the Lord, because you subjected yourself as a subject under Satan. And so that's why I'm saying this is our subjective experience in dealing with ourselves and our flesh. We can either choose to subject ourselves under the Word of God, or we can become weaker every time we lust in our minds. Because the Lord says, put on the mind of Christ, and he certainly knows if there's lust in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, and he knows if he is in your heart, soul, mind, spirit. Because the Bible says that he sees everything. Amen?
Amen.
And so you are subjectively are going to subject your spirit, your mind, your heart, your soul, under whatever you love to think about. Amen?
Amen.
That's a little grim for you. But the problem with you is that you've never subjected yourself unto the entire subject, your whole being, mind, heart, soul, spirit, unto the Lord. If you did, you'd know that it's so far superior than whatever you've been subjecting your soul, your mind, your heart, and spirit unto. So the Lord refers to this in Matthew 16 as the denying of self. You have to take up a cross. You have to be crucified and then take up a cross. Well, to your old man that's in your flesh, that's a cross, man, to get your eyes off porn. That's a cross to get your mind off of lust, your eyes off of lust. That's the cross that the Lord wants you to apply. The minute that you have something that you know the Lord doesn't want your mind, your heart, your soul to dwell on, if you will remember those words from the Lord, that you have to be subjective. I look upon yourself as a subjective person that wants a subjective experience in dealing with yourself in a godly way rather than a satanic way. Amen?
Amen.
So So this is also what the Lord refers to in Matthew 16 as the denying of self and the bearing of the cross. Oh, did this catch you unawares? Well, you know, people may smile and say, "Yeah, he got us." But the thing is that, it's nothing funny, because of it. You're going to stand before the Lord one of these days, amen?
Amen.
So today there is what the Word of God, the Bible, calls fallen Christianity. They've fallen away from the Lord. Or the great falling away that it mentions in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. So in this great falling away of Christianity, many truths have been misunderstood. Christianity hasn't understood the things that I'm saying, have they?
No.
And they keep wondering why they are not strong, powerful. We are not strong. We are not powerful, but if we subject ourselves unto the Word of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, its Spirit and life, is powerful, and we will be able to get into heaven. Isn't that good news for modern man?
Yes.
Okay, we're living in the day of temptation now. And we, our soul is too important to misunderstand that this great falling away, why are we falling away? Why are we so weak? Why are we so pitiful? Though we try to do good, we can't. Okay, so let's start reading from the book of Romans in the 6th chapter where I mentioned, what verse was that I told you to read from?
Verse 15.
Verse 15?
Yes.
Chapter 6. And then we'll go right into chapter 7.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law?
In other words, we're not under the law, and I'll tell you why. Because the law is like the police officer. If we sin, if we're shooting somebody, or if we're strangling somebody, or if we're robbing somebody, and the policeman sees it, we're under the law. Amen?
Amen.
And with the Lord, he sees everything. Everything, he's like sitting there as an observer, observing everything we do. And so, do we do away with the law? Read that statement again, do we? Because we get saved, we're not under the law, we don't have to get arrested anymore, we don't have to go to hell anymore. That's what that means. We're not under the condemnation of the law anymore because we accepted Christ into us. All of our former sins were washed away. And now, can we go and sin some more? Of course not, because if we did the law, we'd be under the subjection of the law again, and we'd have to pay the price, which is an eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Okay?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead and read that again.
Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?
God. Under the power of God. Grace means power of God. Then Paul says what? God forbid?
Yes.
Exclamation mark?
Yes.
God forbid! Because we're under the power of God now. We don't need to sin anymore. We don't need to sin anymore because we have the power of God. We have become subjective, and we want to make sure that we don't sin anymore, so we have to be our own subjects, because the Lord says now we have to pick up our cross after we've been crucified with Christ's cross. Now we're dead to sin. Amen?
Amen.
We're dead to sin. We don't sin anymore because, why? Because we don't want to be under the law anymore, the condemnation of the law. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so if we're dead to sin, because when we accepted Christ, we were crucified with Christ on the cross, we can't sin anymore because we're on the cross with Christ. We're crucified with him, amen?
Amen.
And then we walk by the Spirit, and mingled in our spirit, and making sure, giving us the power to not sin anymore so that we don't fall under the condemnation of the law again. Because the Bible says if we sin, if we come down off the cross where Christ is crucified and we're crucified with him, then there remains no more forgiveness. Because we trampled the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot. We told people we were saved. And then we're trampling his blood underfoot and putting him out to disgrace, to open shame before the public, that he wasn't strong enough to hold you up. No, you're the one that wasn't strong. You deliberately loved the present day world more than you did the world to come. Therefore, you didn't think it was worth paying the price for, to continue blotting sin out of your mind, your heart, your soul, and your spirit. Getting rid of it. Putting it under subjection to the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey.
Yeah, in other words, Paul is saying there, if you subject yourself unto Satan, then you're the servant of Satan, not the servant of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then if you're the servant of Satan, you're going to spend eternity with Satan in the pit of hell and the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
Whether of sin unto death.
Yeah, if you sin again, it's unto death. You're going to die and die and die and die in eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
Or of obedience unto righteousness.
Yeah, or if you obey the Holy Spirit to subject yourself under yourself, the Holy Spirit, by placing yourself, because you have a will in your body. In your soul, actually, is where it is. Your soul is in your body. And you can decide whether to subject yourself unto your flesh or yourself, which is Satan. Because Satan is rising up in people's flesh, even Christians. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, I keep my flesh under. What he means is under the power of the Holy Spirit, lest he fall away and be a castaway like the rest of the sinners in the world. Because he knew that if he fell away from God, and he's the one that's writing this right here by the Holy Spirit, that he wouldn't be any different than the devil going to hell. He'd be one of Satan's agents, even after he wrote over 2/3 of the New Testament. Okay, then what?
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But
yeah, that you were. The servants of sin. You were. The inflection of the word were, but you're not anymore. Go ahead.
But ye have obeyed from the heart.
Yeah, from your spirit, your heart, your spirit with the Spirit of God in you, because you couldn't even obey the Word of God at all if you didn't have God's Spirit incarnate in you, mingled with you, mixed with you. If you wouldn't be talking, you and the Spirit talking together, and talking you, your Spirit, with the Lord's Spirit, talking to people about the Lord. You couldn't do that. I couldn't preach the gospel if I wasn't under the complete subjection of the Holy Spirit. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I, my will, me as a subject, have chosen to serve God and him only. Okay?
Amen.
Now what?
But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you.
Yes, so the Bible, the doctrine, the Word of God, the things that I'm telling you, that you must be mortified. You can't be living everyday life, you know, enjoying everyday life. Because why? Because the Lord says we have to deny our flesh. Because the devil is in our flesh, and he's going to rise up, and it's a constant job of putting him down by the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we can't, we've denied the our flesh, and there, thus we've fled. The way you do that is like you might, like they talk today, they say, oh, look at her just all walking down the street. And then you're just looking, and they have, you notice all these satanic people show people's behinds walking down the street. Turn your eyes away from it. It ain't going to do you any good anyway. Amen?
Amen.
What it's going to do is send your soul to hell. Get your mind on the Lord. The minute that that happens, flee from the very appearance of evil, because all that is flesh. And the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And that person, you don't know if they've got crabs, gonorrhea, HIV, and every other thing underneath that dress or whatever you're looking at, okay?
Amen.
Ha! Put your mind on the Lord so that you can enter the kingdom of heaven. If your car runs into you, you say, well, I'm walking on the sidewalk, no car. Have you not watched the news for cars right up on the sidewalk and you're inside of the store shopping and this car rams right in through the window and kills people in there? Or that there's car bombs, you're walking down the street and all of a sudden a car bomb goes off and there's like 30, 40 people, maybe 50 killed and maybe 150 put in the hospitals and possibly died later. You know, you have to walk defensively. You have to walk subjectively. You have to keep your mind on all these things regarding your soul. When the Spirit of God enters into you, you become like the Garden of Eden. The tree of life is in you then, Jesus. The Word of God is the tree of life. And so you have to guard that precious life that just entered into you. And you can't do the things that Satan in your flesh wants to do. So you have to keep, and the way that you keep Satan in your flesh under is to walk in the Holy Spirit. That's just, there's no other explanation for it. That's all the Word of God gives us. And I'll tell you, it works because I've been doing it a long time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now go ahead.
Being then made free from sin.
Yeah, you're free. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're free from sin. You don't have to sin. You can't sin if you're there with the Lord. Well, that's too easy for you. Well, yeah, because there's so much temptation, you say. You turn on the television. If the television is tempting you, turn the stinking thing off. Amen?
Amen.
Don't look at it. But there's newspapers surrounding you. We see signboards and all this, these weaklings say. And there's people that are disrobed. Turn your eyes away. Amen?
Amen.
Job did it. Said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a maid. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's no other way. The Lord gives us all these defenses in the Word of God. And so do them so that you can preserve that tree of life in your spirit. The life. So that you have to walk according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of life, and only in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of life is not in Buddha or Muhammad or any pope. They are the most reprobate people on the face of this earth. There's no Spirit in them of God to hold you up, but the Holy Spirit. Jesus has become the life-giving Spirit, and He moves into you, and He conquered death, hell, and the grave, sin, Satan, and the world, and He never sinned once. Why? Because of the Spirit that's in Him that He's willing to give you. He is the Holy Spirit. He'll enter into you, and He'll first wash you your whole former sins away in the blood of Jesus. He'll enter into you and give you power. Then you'll know that these stupid comedians that are saying, oh, anybody that believes in God is a fool. No. The Bible says that he that believeth not, he doesn't believe that there's a God, is the fool.
Amen.
Okay, so these comedians that say that are fools.
Amen.
And you're a fool to listen to them. Okay, then what?
Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness.
Right, so because the power of God's in you to be able to do righteous things enough for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. And that Holy Spirit in you also makes you perfect. And don't believe these false preachers, or if they say they're pastors, that say no one is perfect. Well, if he's not perfect, he's not entering the kingdom of heaven. If I were you, I'd advise you to follow some other pastor. One that believes that you can be perfect by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
By saying that you can't be perfect, you're saying that the Holy Spirit is not perfect. And you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and God has sent you strong delusions to believe a lie. That your soul might be damned is what 2 Thessalonians says. Read it and see. Okay, then what?
I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh.
Right. Of course there's an infirmity in your flesh, and that infirmity is Satan. I just did a message on tape today in that regard, and I'll be bringing that message possibly tomorrow or the next day. So make sure you stay tuned. Don't listen to anybody else but me, okay? Because it's the Lord talking through me. Father, anoint further this service in Jesus' name, that souls may be saved and the church strengthened, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. And right now we're going to take a little pause. I'm going to sing a favor with a little song here. Here I am saying, you know, the Bible tells us to not sin. We have to be our brother's keeper. And who is our brother? Is born-again Christians, but all the people out in the world, if we went out there and witnessed him, they could be our brother or sister. Amen?
Amen.
So you are your brother's keeper. Go ahead and play it.
Last night I had the strangest dream. A dream that seemed so real. A mighty force had carried me back to this ancient field. And then a voice came to me, saying, "Be not filled with fear. Bear witness to the things you see, and everything that you hear."
I saw Cain kill his brother in the garden, and I heard the Lord ask Cain where Abel was. I do not know, am I my brother's keeper? He was punished then for spilling Abel's blood. Then I heard the Lord tell Noah, before the sky turned dark, everyone but you and yours shall pass away. I see all my children sinning, and it grieves me in my heart. Then I watched as God and Noah built the ark. Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was, yes he was. Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was. God saw his children sinning, and it grieved him in his heart. Noah was his brother's keeper, yes he was. I saw Samson single-handed stop a thousand evil men, and Joshua fight the battle at Jericho. I saw David stop Goliath and then become a king. They were their brother's keeper, don't you know? You are your brother's keeper, yes you are, yes you are. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are. God sees his children sinning, and it grieves him in his heart. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are, yes you are. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are. God sees his children sinning, and it hurts him in his heart. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are. You are your brother's keeper, yes you are, yes you are. You are your brother's keeper.
So there's a lot of people that misinterpret the bearing of the cross. What they think is that the cross is regarding suffering. But this is not true at all. It's not true. It's false. This is a concept which most people have inherited from Roman canon law or Roman canon Catholicism. We have to realize that the emphasis of the cross is not suffering, but that it actually is death. Christ went to the cross to die, and we have to go to the cross to die. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we have to die out to our old man, the devil in our flesh. And the only way that we can do that is to obey the word, the Spirit. We must, if we're going to do that, we must keep our mind on the Lord, our soul, our spirit. We have to give ourselves totally over to the Lord. Okay, now let's finish reading here real quick now, because we probably only got about 9 minutes.
For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?
Right, because you were alive unto sin. Sin made you happy. You loved to sin. But when you find life, oh my God, that's so much more powerful and wonderful than being dead in your sins and trespasses. That you hate that now. You hate being dead. You hate being depressed. You hate being afraid to die. You hate not knowing where you're going when you die. Some people know they're going to hell in the lake of fire. But it's wonderful to know, you know, it's the most wonderful thing in the world, in the whole universe, to know that your soul is saved and that you're walking full. Your mind is full of the Lord. Your heart, your spirit, your soul is filled with the powerful Spirit of God. Okay, then what?
For the end of those things is death.
Right. Walking in the world, according to your flesh, Satan, is death. Now, this is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 7.
Now, this is the one I have rarely. One time I think I heard some man explaining it fairly well. I don't know if he got it through one of my messages before. But it's just plain as can be to me. Okay, then go ahead. I've heard so many people quote it wrong. I mean, everybody else that I've ever heard. Then what else?
Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth?
As long as you're alive in the flesh. That's why you have to die. Amen?
Amen.
To sin. Then what?
For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man.
Yeah, and a woman, this is talking about spiritual death as well. Now, if the man falls away from the Lord, and begins robbing banks, smoking, shooting up narcotics and drugs, and sniffing cocaine and all these different things, he's dead. He went back to death. And so a woman is allowed, her husband is dead. She can marry, but only in the Lord, somebody that's strong in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody that really knows God and knows how to keep her straight. Walking in the Spirit. Then what?
Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ.
Yes, you're dead. The law doesn't have any more condemnation for you because you're in the body of Christ now, and Christ is perfect. And so are you now that you're saved. All your former sins are washed away in the blood and drowned in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and he doesn't remember it against you any longer. No more, okay? So you're keeping the law. The Lord said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. In other words, keep it. And not only fulfill it in me, but I'll also come back to this world after I ascend up to heaven. And then I'll come back into you with my Father by the Spirit and give you the power to do what I did on earth. I never sinned, and you won't any longer. All your former sins are washed away, and so you become a babe in Christ. You now are a servant of the Lord. And if you stay walking in the Spirit, if you mortify your flesh on a daily basis by reading the Word and doing the things that the Word says, well, then you're going to make it into heaven. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God.
That's why it's such a sin to commit adultery, because God likens, the Bible likens us as being married, that married man and wife becomes the same. It's a good example of being married to Jesus, because we become his bride, the bride of Jesus. And to commit adultery on him, to do something other than what he says to do, is committing adultery on the Lord.
Amen.
And you may think you're going to get away with it, but the Lord, the Spirit, knoweth everything. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and you won't get by with it. If you've committed adultery, you won't get by with it. Now, you may be able to hold a good thought, but you're going to have to face judgment, and God doesn't water it down like you do in your mind. Okay, go ahead.
For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we...
In other words, the law, you knew what it said if you read it, and you know that you're going to hell. And you try to do good, as Paul will say later here, but you can't, because the Spirit of God, this is in your pre-saved life, the Spirit of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is not living in you. Now, the Spirit of God is the most powerful thing in the world. It's able to keep you dead, your old you and the Satan in your flesh dead on a daily basis. If you'll just forget about the television set and all the other things that you bother yourself with, and you just give yourself, impress the Lord. Don't try to impress brothers or sisters or people that you think are brothers and sisters or anybody out on the street either. Okay, and then what?
But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
Yes. You're dead in Christ now. You were dead before to the Lord, but now you're dead to sin, dead to Satan. So stay that way by the Spirit. I see my time is up. Let's continue this tomorrow. Make sure you mark those scriptures. And we'll continue this tomorrow, because you're going to find out how to stay powerful in the Lord. And nobody else is preaching this, okay?
Amen.
You listen and see. These are secrets that I'm telling you about the Holy Spirit and life and subjectiveness to oneself. You have to make the decision to do it. No one's going to make it for you. Okay, so now, you could make that decision to walk in power instead of weakness. The Lord will take all the lusts out of you. The Holy Spirit will, but you must replenish the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, because just like you need food for your body, you need food also for your spirit every day. It's like the living waters. You have to drink it every day and eat the living word every day. So say this prayer to the Lord, receive him now, and just thank God that you know now how to do it. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power in my body now that's going to carry me through every trial, tribulation, that's going to cause me to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word is spirit and it's life. And I know you've heard me. Your word says so, that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Just praise and thank the Lord. Stay into the King James Version of the Bible on a daily basis. You can call me for questions or write in, whatever, and I'll answer them for you. And just praise and thank the Lord. Read the Bible. Be baptized in water and baptized with the Holy Spirit. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways to receive this program, number 328.
go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure to tune in tomorrow. And here's Faith Springman to sing, "There is a Balm in Gilead." The Balm in Gilead is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, that will cleanse and make you whole. The blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
The sin sick.